The Pew Research Center just gave us the numbers to back up what we already know. The vast majority of us have cell phones, and they're with us most of the time.
What isn't so clear is the going standard for when it's okay to use them. So Pew surveyed 3,200 people to find out when they think it's okay to use your cell phone. If we think of etiquette as a form of societal consensus, the survey tried to shed some light on what passes for polite nowadays.
Here to go through some of the findings with us and share her own thoughts is Amy Elkin. She's a science-based syndicated advice columnist and the author of the book, Good Manners for Nice People Who Sometimes Say the F Word. Amy, welcome back.
Thank you.
So one finding, the number of us who think it's okay to stare at your phone while you're walking down the street, I guess meaning you're not making eye contact with people, you might fall off the sidewalk, stumble. 80% of people think that that is okay. That's a huge majority. What do you make of that result?
Well, this is why I think it's wrong that we determine etiquette by consensus, because that's just rude. Pull over. It's basically like driving and being on your phone, you know, because you're going to bump into people. And actually, David Carr, who is a late media columnist from the New York Times, he used to just walk head on into people doing that as a form of, I guess, vigilante mannersism.
Well, that opens up a big question. We're in, obviously, this time of change with our technology. We've got all our new stuff. You're suggesting we shouldn't just stumble into an etiquette. We should think this through, it sounds like.
Exactly. So at the root of manners is empathy. Is this thing that I am doing to you going to bother you, hurt you, be very unkind, etc.? And that's what we need to use to guide our cell phone behavior. And the reason we need to do that, cell phones are just so exciting. We are basically like chimps with an info nuke in our hands when we have a cell phone. And so we need to pre-plan not to sort of go with our worst impulses.
So overall, Amy, what did you make of the results of this survey when you looked at what people did and didn't think was okay?
Well, I'm not surprised, because people think what's okay is what they're doing, so they don't have to think poorly of themselves. But I really think that we need to be more thoughtful than that and to be more empathy-directed. For example, you know, to be in a restaurant on a date, on a texting on your phone, I just think that is so terrible. The other person, they have to look into their napkin pretending to be looking for secret messages, because it's so embarrassing to be with the person who's doing that to you.
I've been wondering if maybe the next step in etiquette is if you're going to do this in a certain situation, you're going to look at your smartphone or something, you excuse yourself or say, hey, I'm sorry, I need to look at this thing. Or maybe even, do you mind if I check my messages to see if this important one came in? Does that give us a little bit of an out or acknowledging that what we're doing is maybe a bit rude?
Yes, that's very good advice, and I actually advise that. But the thing is, important can't be anything you could possibly get, including spam. important needs to be, my child has a fever, and I need to just make sure that the babysitter says she doesn't need to be hospitalized. You know, or if the liver that you're supposed to install in someone might be arriving soon, that's cool. You know, the other stuff, just this, you know, I got to check the scores, that's mean.
Well, this one should please you then, Amy. Here's some more results from that survey. Phone use during meetings at work, maybe, or a church service, or other sort of pay attention types of scenarios. 94% of people said, no, it's not okay. Although I have a hard time believing that 94% of people don't ever do it, too. It's kind of a... What do you think about those results? Encouraging?
No, because I think all those 94% of the people think very highly of themselves and think that, well, I have a reason to do that. The speaker is boring or whatever. And I don't know, you've probably spoken in front of groups. There's nothing worse than looking down and seeing a bunch of people not paying attention. You think, oh, my God, I'm so boring. I should leave. And people don't really think of the human factor like that. How are they making the speaker feel, the preacher feel, whomever feel, who is the audience for their looking down into their little white wireless binky?
Well, maybe they're out there transcribing every single word the speaker is saying, and that's a sign of great respect.
Oh, okay. I got that okay. One, too. Tom Zellner, who's a professor at Chapman College, he teaches creative writing there, and he said he can always tell when they're transcribing and when they're on Facebook because they're typing at the wrong time. So people do know what you're doing.
We're talking with Amy Elkin right now, science-based syndicated advice columnist and author of Good Manners for Nice People Who Sometimes Say the F-Word. We're digesting now some findings from the Pew Research Center about when most of us think it's okay or not okay to use our cell phones. And Amy, the survey found that women in particular might be more inclined to use their cell phones as a shield. Let's say someone's coming that they don't want to talk to, they feel put upon, they bury their head in their cell phone, and it's an avoidance tactic. What do you think of that? There are societal pressures sometimes that are particular to women. Is it okay for women to do that?
Well, it depends upon the situation, but I would generally say yes, because what this person's trying to do, probably, maybe, is to be kind so they don't have to blow the person off. They can just pretend to be otherwise engaged. And this notion that honesty is the best policy, sometimes deception is a better policy because it's kinder.
Another result, a lot of people said it's okay to use that cell phone, look at your smartphone, do stuff when you're on public transportation, riding a bus, a subway for the places that have subways. And this is one I think I'm behind that. It's no different than if I sit and read a book on a bus or something like that. Are you okay with that one, Amy?
Oh, sure. People have this weird prejudice. Oh, my God, it's new technology. How terrible. In fact, a woman argued, what did she say? It's antisocial to be on your phone when you're walking down the street. And maybe you're talking to somebody who's more important to you than whatever the current environment is. So I call that multisocial and think people should be a little less quick to judge other people's behavior when they don't really know what is going on.
On the other hand, that is something we hear a lot about, we talk a lot about on this radio station, about whether as a society we're getting less inclined to engage with each other. And some research shows that when we just smile at someone on the street, we get happier, they get happier. But if everyone's on their phone, I guess maybe nobody's happier. Are there risks involved with that?
Well, yes, we do have to pre-plan, because you have to think about your phone, have an engaged relationship with it, and think about, do I really want to be on my phone all the time, or might I have some wonderful experiences if I engage? However, not everybody likes to engage. My boyfriend is an introvert. We get to a party, and he'll say, do we really have to go inside? And for people like that, it's wonderful to be able to cocoon themselves, to not have to engage with people all the time, because they get, it's sort of painful for them.
Here's another etiquette issue that I've encountered on a bus or hanging out at a restaurant or something like that, when somebody else is talking on their cell phone and I get deep insight to their rich inner life, their plans, their legal troubles, their family lawsuits. So how do we handle that issue as the talker, and can we intervene if we're the talkee, if we're the bystander there?
Well, it depends. I call this privatizing public space as your own. It is the height of rudeness. People don't realize this, however. I'm going to give you a little science on this. It turns out that a one-sided conversation is more interruptive to the brain than a two-sided one through something called theory of mind, which is our theory of what's in other people's minds. So, for example, if a guy kneels down across the street to ask something of his girlfriend, he's probably not asking her for a pen. And we know this, but this ability to identify what other people are probably thinking is automatic, and that preys on us when people are on their phone calls. However, the problem is, if you try to control people, if you try to criticize them, this tends to backfire. Criticizing people does not make them change. It makes them want to clobber you. So the best things to do are to say things like, it's a little loud, or would you mind keeping it down a little? And to not be aggressive and just say, you're so rude, get off your phone, because they're not going to do that. They're going to do whatever they were doing loudly and more profanely than they were.
See, I'm in the minority. I love listening to people's conversations on the phone. It is so interesting. It's a boon to writers, and it makes the bus ride shorter. I mean, they might just be some faceless stranger, but then you know they have a big medical appointment coming up. They had a fight with their spouse. It's so interesting.
In important regards, you and I are very different people.
Yeah, you hear more interesting people than I do. I was at a store the other day. I mean, people are just arranging the times to do things. Got to pick up the dry cleaning when I get home. Wow, fascinating.
Yeah, no, you can't always argue for the content, but sometimes there's good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if I could pretend like I was Bob Newhart and I'm filling in the comedian and filling in the other side in humorous ways in my mind, I guess then I could find it more entertaining.
And I do want to answer something you sort of brought up, but maybe it was about restaurants and things, but in the movies, people who are on their cell phones, they know they're being rude and they don't care. So you have to call in a professional. You have to call an usher, because if you tell them to please not do it, they already know they're doing it and don't care. So you're just, it's a futile act on your part.
Outside intervention needed. Good point. Well, we're talking now to science-based advice columnist Amy Alkan about a new Pew study that looked at how people use their cell phones these days. We're getting a snapshot on what does and doesn't pass as good etiquette in the smartphone era.
And we want to hear from you about this. When do you think it is never, ever okay to use your phone? Where do you draw the line? And when have you been most recently irate at someone for misusing their phone at the wrong time? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking to advice columnist Amy Alkan about a new Pew study that looks at how people use their cell phones today. We're getting a snapshot of what does and doesn't pass for good etiquette, what's acceptable these days. Amy's the author of the book Good Manners for Nice People Who Sometimes Say the F-Word.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are the rules for you? What bugs you when it comes to public cell phone use? Maybe at the dinner table in a public place. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to a caller. We've got Jordan on the line in Milwaukee. Jordan, hi.
Hi. I just want to say, for me, the worst was when I rode public transportation. Thank God I don't do that anymore. But when I rode public transportation, the worst was when people would play music on their cell phones without headphones.
Ah, okay. So you're not talking, they're listening quietly to themselves on headphones. They're politely sharing their music with their co-passengers.
Yes, like, you know, blaring their music so that you hear it all throughout the bus. And it's like, you know, I don't want to hear, you know, your bad music. I've got bad taste in music. We've all got bad taste in music. I'm sure you don't want to hear my Fleetwood Mac or my Scissor Sisters blaring. So, you know, politely and kindly, please, you know, get some headphones.
Jordan, thanks a lot for that call. And Amy, can we ever break the chain, if I can quote Fleetwood Mac, on playing music loudly on public transit?
Oh, my God. He is so right. Other passengers' eardrums should not be considered shared space. And in terms of the empathy thing I was discussing before about empathy being the root of manners, one thing that we all can do is to do a little test of our headphones to see if they're leaky. That horrible mosquito sound of leaky headphones, angry mosquitoes, to see if that's the case. I mean, you could spend another $10 on your headphones and get a pair that don't leak, because you're probably on public transportation torturing people simply by existing, so you don't need to give them any sound effects to go with.
Jordan, thanks a lot for that call. We're going to go next to Todd in Cross Plains. Todd, hi.
Hi. One thing that really bothered me, I've bartended in the past, right? And there's nothing more annoying than when someone walks up to the bar and they're talking on the phone and they wave to you to come on over to them. I didn't, when I was bartending, I didn't wait on people. I'd wait till they hung up, and they'd usually be upset, and I'd tell them, well, I figured you were on the phone, so I didn't want to interrupt your conversation.
I love that. And you know what? That's right on, because when you let yourself be abused, that opens you up to more and more of it. It is good to tell them so they don't just think that you're rude, to say, I'll get to you when you're off the phone, so they realize, and they're more likely to hop to it then. But really, it's great that you did that, because people need to be trained.
That's right. It's interesting, Amy, that you're promoting that rude does not answer rude. So you should still behave well, even if someone else maybe is not.
Right, because what you don't want to do is let other people create who you are, create your behavior. So that's why, again, it's so important to pre-plan, because we are basically, I mean, we are chimps. We're basically these hot-headed people, hot-headed creatures, and we're liable to get all upset at these situations. And instead, what you need to do is just expect that other people will behave rudely. Then you won't be so mad. And then when they do, you can handle it in a cool way.
Todd, thanks a lot for the call. Jenny is with us next in Rice Lake. Jenny, hi.
I think mine is very similar to your last call. I work in a convenience store, and when they will not put down their cell phone, they will not listen to what I'm saying, they will not pay, they will not do anything until, you know, and they just continue talking. I, as a matter of fact, one time pounded on the counter to get their attention, And it was just ridiculous. And the other customers behind, not only is it rude to me, but the other customers in line get very angry, and they say, why don't you tell him? And I said, I can't because I work here. I said, but you could tell him. I said, I can't stop you. And one gentleman, a woman was texting, and when he got up to pay, he said, oh, wait a minute, let me get out my cell phone and text a while. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But that, to me, should never happen. You can put your phone down long enough to pay for your purchase.
And Jenny, thanks for the call. Amy, a retail store I used to work at has since posted a sign at the register that says, we won't serve you if you're talking on your cell phone. I don't know if they've amended it to include texting since then yet, though. Should stores have that be a posted policy?
Oh, please, if you're a store owner listening out there, please have that be your policy and support your employees. Otherwise, they're just victimized. They need their job. They can't say what they should say, which is, I'll help the next person who's not all busy on their phone. Because that's the fair thing to them. We should not treat cashiers as these sort of machines with realistic human features. And I learned something in France, and you go through a courtyard of a building, and some woman you have never seen before and will never see again says, bonjour, madame. And that's really nice, and I incorporated that. I'm from the Midwest, from Michigan across the lake. And, you know, I was raised to be decent and friendly. And so now I always talk to cashiers, hi, how are you? God, it's crowded. Hope you're not having a hard day. They really appreciate this, you know, instead of being treated like a thing.
We're talking with Amy Elkin right now, science-based syndicated advice columnist. She's the author of Good Manners for Nice People Who Sometimes Say the F-Word. Talking about a new survey from Pew that tells us when people feel it is okay or not okay to use their cell phone. For instance, is it okay to grab your phone and take pictures of stuff in public when you're with other people? Survey says 60% of people do that. They think it's okay. What do you say, Amy?
Well, it really depends. We should not assume that other people's privacy belongs to us, because it does not. Not everybody wants to be in your photo. Now, if you're in a public place, you have a First Amendment right to take pictures. But as for whether you can post mean things, which many people do, about total strangers, if they're a private person, I mean, would you like that to happen to you? There's sort of some simple thoughts that we can go through on that. And I do want to say it is a big problem for restaurants where people do these elaborate food shots. First of all, if you're in some dimly lit, fabulous place, your cell phone flashing is not part of the ambiance that they intend. That ruins it for other people, but also it really slows things down for the kitchen, and it makes their business not as profitable, because it actually does take quite a long time for people often to get through their phone shots of their food, and they'll like back their elbow into another patron. It's kind of awful.
We'll go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We've got Margaret on the line in Milwaukee. Margaret, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is maybe a little bit of a different annoyance than what you're talking about, but I get really annoyed when people expect me to answer my phone because I have it with me.
That is a great point. You know, technology, the ability to answer your phone immediately does not mean it's a mandate. And people need to let other people know their phone policy so they won't be offended. I also will not answer my phone much of the time. It's always on silent if it's with me. If I'm out with someone, I focus on them. So you need to let people know that, and just let them know it's policy and that it doesn't have anything to do with them. They can't just expect you to behave in a way that works for them.
Amy, do you think that where we are right now with this technology is sort of equivalent to the Wild West, that anything goes? We're just figuring this stuff out now, that maybe 5 years from now, maybe 3 years from now, maybe things will have calmed down a little. Maybe people will be a little less intrusive with their phones.
Yes, I really think that's true. And it sort of mirrors what happened with the telephone. Initially, people really didn't know what they were supposed to do. And in fact, Alexander Graham Bell had tried to set up some rules, like that you would answer not hello, but ahoy. It's really weird and never, thankfully, caught on. But I do think that we will start to have pressure the same way we did about people shouting into their phones in public, which you really don't hear as much of anymore, that we will start to have better behavior in texting. For example, in workplaces, some workplaces, and I do suggest this in the book, they have a basket in the middle of the table when they have a meeting, because people are just too tempted to, I'll just check that one thing on Facebook, Cakes or Us or whatever, you know, and they're not paying attention to the person who's talking. So basically the meeting was worthless to some degree. And so that needs to be, things like that need to be thought of to work within human behavior and the bratty ways we behave.
Amy, thanks so much for joining us. Informative, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, I love talking to you guys.
That was Amy Alkin. She's a science-based syndicated advice columnist and author of the book Good Manners for Nice People Who Sometimes Say the F Word. Still time for you to weigh in over at the Central Time Facebook page. Have you been an offender? Have you used your cell phone in a way and thought, you know what, in hindsight, I shouldn't do that? Or, and you're more likely to answer it this way, what bothers you when other people do it? Head over to the Central Time Facebook page.